The time has come, the walrus said, to talk of many things. Hello. Welcome to Exposing the Masters Within, the one and only hour on radio or the internet dedicated solely to helping you expose yourself. My name is John Schulte. I'm here to serve you, to help you to know more of the truth about you. It's often said, looks can be deceiving. And we all know that the surface of things is, by definition, shallow. So thanks for joining me today as we journey through the looking glass to explore what's on the other side, to explore what's beneath the surface. We're here together to discover, uncover, and recover our masters within. You knew your mastery much more fully when you signed up for your on-earth sojourn. But you mostly forgot it soon after leaving the cozy confines of your mother's womb. You've rediscovered some inkling of it, or you wouldn't be listening to me now. So, it's time to remember the masters we are. It's time to reclaim the power we have. It's time for Exposing the Masters Within. Let's get started.
Today is October 6th, 2013, for those listening live. And it's whatever time and place, et cetera, it might be if you're listening to the recording. In either case, welcome, welcome, welcome. And before we jump into any of the topic, let's go right to connection. And as always, let's go first to connecting within, to connecting to your own divinity, your own mastery, your own power, your own essence, call it what you will. And that's where we're going to start. So allow yourself to breathe and set the intention that you're opening up to allow that power, that mastery, that divinity that is the core of your being to express more fully, to be felt more deeply by you at the physical level, at the emotional level, at the mental level, to be experienced more fully in your aura and your entire energy field, and to flow out into all of those connections that join you in all of your relationships. Know that this will continue to remain at least this open throughout the time that we are connecting here today. And let's move on to open the next level of connections. And this time it is down into the earth, into our physical mother. And to do this, you might open the root chakra, you might open the chakras of the feet, you might open up through the cells of your skin, or in whatever other way feels best to you. But you're opening to allow yourself to experience more of your Mother Earth's love and support for you. Again, just allow your breathing to open so that this energy can flow up into you, into your physical body, into your emotional body, into your mental body, so it can fill your entire aura, your entire energy field, and even flow into all of those connections that are your relationships, supporting you and being more grounded in each relationship. And so, once more, knowing that this connection is also going to remain at least this open throughout the time that we are sharing here today, we move on to connect to the divine dimensions, or what we tend to think of as divine, where the angels and ascended masters are, opening up in that way. And so again, open in the way that feels most appropriate to you, through your heart, through your crown, through your third eye, in whatever other way might work best for you. Again, allowing your breathing to be easy And opening with that intention to allow the love and support of your spiritual team to flow into you, to fill you on the physical, on the emotional, on the mental, to fill your entire aura, your entire energy field, and flow into all of those relationships that you have. Again, supporting you in knowing that you have this team in every moment that you spend connecting in any and every relationship you have. And allow that breathing to flow as we shift our focus, knowing that these connections will remain at least this open while we are here together. Allow yourself to open up into the community of exposing the masters within, all those who listen. And that shared intention that we all have of choosing to move forward, expanding in our power, awakening into our mastery. And allow yourself to receive that shared intention and allow yourself to feel it lifting you. Again, open to it in whatever way feels most appropriate to you in this moment, to whatever degree feels most appropriate to you in this moment. And know that that energy is flowing into your physical experience, your emotional experience, your mental experience, flowing in and filling your aura, filling your energy field, and supporting you in being more empowered in all of your relationships. Marvelous. And allow that breathing that you're doing to just continue to flow easily and as deeply as you can without trying to force anything. As we notice these connections being open, and remember that they will remain at least this open during the time that we share, as we move into focus on another level of connection, and this connection is with all the conscious light workers, all those who are walking a similar path, seeking to awaken their mastery, their divinity, their power, and in so doing, supporting everyone else to do the same. And so again, this is a mass consciousness that is vast. And allow yourself to open into it. Allow yourself to open with the intention that you're willing to receive that support, that you're willing to receive the energy of that shared intention, that you do not have to walk this path fully alone, that there are others doing it as well. And let yourself receive that energy at the physical, the emotional, and the mental levels of your being. Allow yourself to receive it, to fill your energy field, your aura, and to flow again into and support all of your relationships, and open you in the direction of relationships with others who are walking a similar path, opening to connecting with your spiritual community. And once more, knowing that these connections will remain open throughout the time that we share here today. We open one last time, this time to connect to something that goes to the very core, as far as I'm concerned, something that we share with all of humanity. We're opening to that spark in all of humanity that says it can be better. That spark that desires to change things for the better, that I believe is sparked by the trickle of divinity that cannot be shut down. In spite of how much we have committed and chosen to come in here and experience separation, we are never truly fully separated from the essence of what and who we are, which is our divinity. And that spark, I believe, is what gives us that desire to move toward the light, to move toward bettering ourselves and our world. And so that's the energy, that's the mass consciousness we're opening to now, connecting with now, and allowing ourselves to feel supported by now, So breathe that in as well. And allow that to fill you physically, emotionally, mentally. Allow it to fill your aura and your entire energy field and to flow down into each one of your relationships so that within each relationship, you and I, all of us, can open to see that spark in others more, can connect with that which is the greatest truth of each of us, which is that mastery divinity that is inside of us and that we are seeking to open into. And allow yourself to just breathe with that for a moment, again, knowing that this will remain open to this degree throughout the time that we share here today. Let yourself breathe into that. And know that you don't have to wait for this program to do this kind of connecting. You can do this anytime you like. All of these things are open to you because the connections are always there. As I say to people about the beginning of this program or about the invocation I do before my channelings, it's not that we're actually calling in the earth more fully. It's not that we're actually calling in the angels or guides. It's that through these choices, through these intentions, we are expanding our own awareness of what's always there. Our own awareness of the connections and the energies that are always able to support us, that are always able to give to us. And that, I think, is a hugely important thing to remind you of and to remind me of here today, that the connection with these other dimensions is not about location. It's not about going into a church or going to a sacred spot on the planet. Although those can help us focus to remember to allow the connections, but rather that these connections are always available. No matter where we are, no matter what we are going through, we are always, always supported. We always have that around us, and we always have the possibility to allow it to be within us as well. To allow ourselves to open to it, to allow ourselves to receive it. In the channelings I've done for all these years, one of the common themes, and I know I've mentioned this before on other programs, but one of the common themes is that we do not ask for enough. We have these beings who are willing to support us, who are able to support us. But because this is a free will planet, because we are here by choice, and we live in a world of choice, they do not have the right to interfere in our lives, to try and fix things for us. We need to ask and to consciously open if we're to receive the support that is ever available. So, I offer that here as we go forward. So allow yourself to breathe that in as much as you can at this moment. And I want to go back. I know the last couple of weeks have been recordings of this program, and the week before that, I think, it may have been a couple of weeks ago, but recently, one of the last live programs that I did, I was talking about death, and I want to revisit that. And quite frankly, for those of you who know me, you know that I don't remember things. Once they come out of my mouth, they go away. So if I repeat anything, know that it's just meant as a reaffirmation. But it's come up in a different context here today, and it's not so much about death in the physical sense and the shifts that are taking place, or at least that I'm perceiving in that way on the planet. It's about death in the energetic sense. And who knows how I may have talked about this a few weeks ago, but I just wanted to talk about that because we in our culture have such a distorted view of death, I believe. And certainly, if you're walking this path, you've probably changed that from what most people have. But death is so remote. It's something that's on television, or it's something that is in the movies. But it's rarely a part of our lives. And even when it is a part of our lives, it's not part of our life very often. In other words, it's out at the hospital. It's not so much anymore what it used to be. Not that long ago, 100 years ago, definitely 200 years ago, where people would typically die at home. Now they typically die in hospitals. And that's changing some with the hospice movement, definitely, but it's still something that is remote. And it's often perceived as being so devastating. It's something that people cannot get over. Well, of course, the person who's died doesn't get over it. But the people that are left behind, in many cases, are not getting over it as well. There is a loss of the ability to grieve, a loss of the community of support to do that. Now, a lot of that is because of our culture and the transitory way that we tend to live. Not very many people live the way they used to, again, a few centuries ago, where it was rare for them to travel much beyond the town that they grew up in. Yes, there were explorers and they would go out, but that was not the majority of people. Well, now we live in a culture where, well, we have planes. People have been on the moon. The world has gotten much smaller, and there is a loss of that kind of community that we grow up and we're surrounded by the people that we grew up with our entire lives. And so the physical death has taken a back door to the death of change. The death of moving, switching neighborhoods, switching schools, switching jobs, switching partners, husbands and wives. Not that I think that marriage should be or has to be lifelong in order to be successful, but used to be much more expected that it was going to last forever. And again, I'm not saying that this is a bad thing, this process of change, but it's shifted how we look at things, how we look at change. And so what I want to explore here a bit today is an old concept, certainly not new to me, but it's about the idea of death related to the idea of rebirth. And it's one of the, probably, I would say, oldest human awarenesses, at least in the climates where we have four seasons. So much of what was the beginning of religion, and many would argue, even as religion has continued to develop, if you can call it development, is the awareness of the cyclic nature of things. And at least in the Northern Hemisphere, we're stepping into autumn now. The leaves are changing. It's getting colder outside, etc. We're moving toward that phase of death, toward the shutting down, moving toward the darkness of the winter or the winter solstice. And yet, there's an awareness in that, that rebirth will follow, that when something ends, when something dies, there is going to be something new reborn. That's why I believe, maybe not consciously, maybe consciously, I don't know how manipulative at a conscious level the early Christian church fathers were, but that's why Christmas was set on December 25th. They took the Roman holiday of Saturnalia, which was a celebration of the beginning of the return of the sun. Sun in the heavens, not Son of God. Because by the 25th, it was actually possible to measure that the days were getting longer, that the light was sticking around longer. And so that was the party, the return of the sun. So, woohoo, we by having this, we are stepping into the energy of rebirth. And of course, what is the Christian terminology here? The Son of God, the return of the light, or the coming of the light in a new way. The symbology is the same there. But and what does it offer? It offers rebirth. It's even talked about in Christianity. You must be born again to come into the kingdom of God. And so the symbology is there. But in our culture, we've lost, I believe, a lot of that recognition. That loss is something that we hold on to rather than stepping into the rebirth, rather than stepping into the new, rather than stepping into the opportunity of change when it shows up. We want to ignore it. We want to fight it. We want to deny it. And I say we. I'm not limiting this to others. I'm acknowledging it in myself. And it's something that at a mental level, I get very strongly. But that doesn't necessarily equate on the emotional level. Loss is loss. And in some ways, I think that what we're doing in the emotional body is often holding on to our grief, not being willing to let go of our grief because it makes us feel more alive. Now, that's quite the paradox. What the hell do I mean by that? Well, if I am grieving, if I am feeling pain to this degree about the loss of someone or some situation in my life, then what is that telling me? It's telling me that I'm alive. It's telling me that I can feel this deeply. And I think for many of us, it's one of the times when we feel most alive. Partly because grief can be so strong, when it's overwhelming enough, through death, through divorce, through an uprooting that was not consciously chosen, when it's so strong that it can shut us down, I think that's one of the most intense things we tend to feel. But we don't take that step, I don't believe, often enough or consciously enough to acknowledge that whatever we've lost, be it another person, be it an important situation, be it a relationship, be it a job, be it whatever. Whatever that has been taken from our lives, it's opening a door for us to create something new. It's giving us an opportunity to take everything that we learned, everything that we gained from that situation in our lives and expand it into something new, into something better, or perhaps a better way to say it is even more consciously chosen, even more consciously shaped. And that, I think, for me anyway, right now, I'm coming to recognize as a very important piece. Whenever we put forth energy to try to change our lives consciously, which is, excuse me, which is every time we step forth toward consciously manifesting anything. If we're going to put the energy into actually manifesting something, I would hope, I hate that word, but I would hope that it's something that we would experience as better than whatever we're letting go of. And so every time there's a change in our life, that's an opportunity that we have. And definitely, the grieving can be devastating when it is a loss that we did not foresee, especially when it is a sudden death, or when it is a loss of something or someone that we've gotten into attachment with. Attachment in this sense, I would say, is a degree of codependency, when we are getting an extreme amount of our sense of value out of it. And it's hard to see how we can create something better down the line, how we can move forward out of this pain into something new and alive. And that's what the process of grieving is about. If we're actively engaging with it, if we're choosing to move the pain when it comes up rather than wallowing in it in an unconscious desire to feel alive by feeling so close to death, which paradoxically, and a complete side note, I think is part of the popularity right now of extreme sports, feeling more alive because we're close to the edge, close to death, close to losing everything. Whoo, and then we survive and there's a rush of awakening, but that's at the physical level. What I'm talking about is at the emotional level, when that grieving is there. But I want to move forward to not just talk about things that are taken away from us without our choice, whether it's, oh, parents moving children out of the school that they've been in, or whether it's getting fired from a job, or whether it's a divorce, or whether it's a death, something that's taken from us without our conscious choice. I think it's important to look at this as well, because without stepping forward more consciously through our grieving, without having a heightened awareness or a greater awareness that every death, every loss is a rebirth, it's a new opening, it's an opportunity. And I'm not suggesting that someone's very close to you dies and immediately you go, ooh, I can find a new friend. That's not what I'm saying. But having this awareness can help us move through the energy of the grieving faster. It can make us more aware of another one of the truths that I believe in that has been channeled many, many times, which is that emotion, regardless of polarity, whether it's something horribly negative or exhilaratingly positive, emotion, whatever degree of emotion you can feel in either direction, in either polarity. For instance, in what we're talking about here, the depth of the grief that you can feel when it seems to be completely overwhelming, whatever you're grieving, that's a mark of how much you have the capacity to experience emotion in the positive dimension as well. So for instance, if we were looking at a timeline or a line in math with a zero point in the center where there's no emotion, and if you're able to feel the depth of despair down to 90 out of 100 on that scale, well, then you have the possibility of experiencing positive emotion at that same level at 90 out of 100. That to me has always been a reassuring truth energetically. And I certainly have experienced it to be true in my own life. But as we move forward, what I want to get to is looking at this. When we are choosing to make changes, again, going back to that idea of manifestation, if we are choosing to manifest something new, we must allow something old to die in order to allow the new to come in. It's kind of like the idea of cleaning out your closets. If you buy a bunch of new clothes and you want to have the clothes so that you can actually see them in the closet, if the closet is completely full, the only way to put new clothes into it is to get rid of some of the old. That's what I'm talking about here. If you'd like a new partnership in your life, or you'd like a new job, then one of the things you need to do is let go of the pieces of the old relationship, or the pieces of the old job, or the pieces of the old whatever that you are still attached to, that you have not grieved and let go of. And that's not an easy thing. The first piece of it is actually setting that intention, setting that in motion, and allowing yourself to experience the pain, which we really don't like to do in our culture. Such a culture of trying to avoid the pain. But I believe that this avoidance is part of why we have such a voyeuristic culture. Why so many people spend so much time focusing on celebrities, focusing on those in the news, etc. Because we're trying to live vicariously. We're trying to connect with that sense of loss, that sense of failure, when another goes through it, as a way to move through our own sense of loss, through our own sense of, I don't feel good enough, so I'd just as soon have someone else I can look down on. We want people to look up to, and we want people to look down on. We want people to look up to so we can theoretically have a place to go, a model to emulate. But in our celebrity culture, I think there's a lot more of the wanting to look down on someone so that we can feel better about ourselves. When in fact, trying to look down on someone else is simply mirroring what we judge in ourselves. Trying to look up at someone else is simply mirroring what we are choosing, what we are desiring to awaken within ourselves. And so it's all the same. But the more we can remember that it's all a mirror, the better. The more we can remember that in order for new to come in, old must go out. The cycle is winter, the time of fallow preparation for the new growth, spring, the new growth coming, beginning, breaking out, summer, the massive growth coming into its fullness, coming toward fruition, and fall, which is both the harvest and the shutting back down, the closing down into the new possibilities. But it's the closing down. It's the going into the fallow. We could call it the integration. It's the beginning of that. It's moving toward the integration. And then the winter is the integration, which allows, again, that new growth come the spring. But we have to shut it down. We have to shut down the striving. We cannot grow all the time. We cannot continue moving in a certain direction and have that direction continue to serve us, because eventually we will have outgrown what we were doing. We need the fallow periods. We need that closing down. We need the death of what has been so that we can come into the energy of the rebirth, so that we can come into the new growth when that is time. So, take a breath, breathe that in, allow yourself to notice to what degree it resonates for you, to what degree it might not. I'm not attached. And why is this here? It's not just because death was up a few weeks ago. It's here because I've gotten very clear over the past couple of weeks that it's time for me to take a hiatus. It's time for me to take a sabbatical, to go into the winter of exposing the masters within, whatever that means. So this is actually going to be my final program for a while. I don't know how long. I don't know. Well, I can't say for certain that it will come back. I'm certainly open to that. I have enjoyed doing this, and I have definitely enjoyed co-creating these with you. as we've gone through this time. But I wanted to thank you, each and every one of you, for the energy that you've given into this, for the feedback that you've given along the way, etc. For those of you who are not on my contact list, if you would like to be, you can just send me an email at contactlight@AOL.com and I can add you to my list. So anyway, I want to let you know if this comes back around, when it comes back around. But let's go and do some channeling here. So at this time, allow your breathing to deepen. I'll do the toning and bring in whoever is to be the guest for the show today. Hello, dear ones. We are Anubis and Osiris come to be with you today. Welcome. And so, we would take you through a transformation now, if you are willing to walk with us. If you are willing to walk with us, we will walk you through preparation for transformation. And so, as we do this, it is not going to be literal, but there is a degree to which it is going to follow that which you would call the process of mummification. But as we do this, it's not so much that we're going to come into your energy field and pull you apart and wrap you in those bandages. Rather, it is that energetically we are going to work with a process of preparing you for the next stage. Because if you will, the closest thing that we can offer to you as a descriptor of the process of mummification is that it is the human entering the chrysalis or the cocoon. That is the symbology where you go in one form, the caterpillar, or the other forms of being that enter a cocoon or a chrysalis. You go in as one form and you come out transformed. You come out winged. You come out ready to fly. Being no longer grounded, but able to take flight. And so this, energetically, is what that is about. It is the process of liftoff. And so as we do this, as those of you who have known, who have read about such things, the internal organs were for the most part removed. Now, in the mummification process, obviously that was done for preservation purposes, but it was not just done for that. Because your internal organs are storage centers. They are storage centers. They store energies. Not that your entire physical body does not store energies, but we might think of them. We might think of the internal organs as batteries that are being charged throughout your life. Now, the charge is not just a positive charge. It is a place where many, many of your experiences are being stored. And it is not so important that we talk in detail, for it would take far more time than we have, about what each organ is storing. But in this process, what you are doing is surrendering these organs to be cleansed, to be purged, to be reset, if you will. It is like someone, in your terminology, wiping a hard drive, cleaning it. Or if we go back a little ways, it is about erasing what information is on a cassette tape so that it can be reused, so it can be rewritten, so a new page can be started, if you will. And so, as we do this, if you are willing, allow yourself to focus on the abdomen. And in the abdomen, we are going to energetically, psychically, take out the stomach, the liver, the kidneys, the spleen, the pancreas, the small intestines, the large intestines. And we are going to set them aside, where they are each going to be bathed in the energy appropriate for each to do that resetting. And then we are going to go into the thoracic cavity, and we are going to take out the lungs and the heart. We are going to take out the thymus. And again, they're going to be set aside and bathed in the light, in the energy that will cleanse them, that will reset the energy field. Then we are going to take the brain. And we are going to take the eyes. Included in the brain is the glands of the brain, the pineal, the pituitary, the hypothalamus. We are also going to get the thyroid and parathyroid from the throat. And we are also going to get back down. We are also going to get the ovaries and the testicles. The entire reproductive system, male or female, whichever is appropriate, and set them all aside to be cleansed in the appropriate energies and reset. And now we are going to do what was not done. The mummification process, this would have been a bit too extreme. But we are going to pull out the entire nervous system. Well, beyond the brain, which is already gone, the entire spinal column and all of the other nerves, and set them aside as well to be cleansed in the appropriate energy field. And then we are going to take all of the skeletal system out. And once more, cleanse them completely. Now we are going to take the skin, your largest organ. Take that off and set it aside to be cleansed completely. Then we are going to take the muscle, all of the muscle. We are going to take the ligaments and the tendons and set them aside to be cleansed in the energy that is appropriate. And what is left, for the most part, is what you don't want, which is fat. Fat and hair and skin. Well, the skin is gone. The nails. We will set each of them in their appropriate places to be cleansed, to be taken back and reset to a zero point. And then we will. And this is not about the linear time that has elapsed, it is about the energetic time. We will start rebuilding. We will take the skeletal system. And then we will take the skin. And then we will fill the skin with the fat, with the muscle, with the sinew of tendons and ligaments. Then we will slide all the nerves back in and complete the nervous system with the brain. Give you your eyes back. Give you all of the glands and your entire reproductive system. Then we will put back in the lungs and the heart. And then we will go back and put everything back within the abdominal cavity, the stomach, the liver, the pancreas, the spleen, small intestine, large intestine, kidneys, bladder. And then we will wrap you up. These are not bandages because you are wounded or injured. They are bandages because you are healing. You are integrating. You are connecting anew. You are transforming. So, you do not need to go into a physical cocoon or change your interactions in the world. But this process has begun in each of you very deeply. And we will be there with you, as will all the others who support you, who walk with you on your path while you are in this process of transformation. And we give you our love and our support. Namaste, dear ones. Well, thank you, Anubis. Thank you, Osiris. And thank you to each one of you out there. Doug, you can start those chimes up when you're ready. It has been my honor and my pleasure to be doing this for the last 2.5 years. Rather a shock. I could not have done it without you, and I mean that. So, I'd still love to hear from you. I will not be back next time. But if and when that happens, I hope you enjoy my many things. Much love.